Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Ayin. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Rabbi Henry J. Ben. All the shows to learn for Shem and Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Tzahal, for peace in Eretz Yisrael, for the hostages to be returned safely, b'mehera, and just the general Yeshua for all of Klai Yisrael. We're in a difficult time with all the protests going on. Yes, Hashem, there should be Shalom in all of Klai Yisrael and Yeshua for all of Klai Yisrael. Okay, Gemara tells us, we start three lines on the top, Daf Ayin Omer Aleph, Omer Rav Anun Omer Shmuel. Rav Anun makes over the following statement in the name of Shmuel. Moz Shoh Yisomim Mutter L'Halvoson B'Ribis. Seemingly makes an amazing statement that Shmuel had held that if you have money of the Yisomim, you're the guardian for Yisomim, for these orphans, you are allowed to go and lend their money out with Ribis. Seemingly, there's a special dispensation, he seems to be saying, that Ribis, probably Durabbanan, is not held to be a din in regards to orphans, that there is no din of Ribis Durabbanan when it comes to orphans. So Rav Nachman questions and says, really? Did Shmuel really say such a thing? Only Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says to Rav Anan, can't be. Mishum diyas meninu sofina lu isura. Because they're Yisomim, because they're orphans, so we dispense with Isurim in the Torah. And even if you want to say it's only me, the Rabbanon, still, do we get rid of a din of the Rabbanon? Yasme the Achle, the Lav did who? Leiz Lubosa Shavkayu. That if we allow the Yisomim to go and eat something which isn't theirs, in other words, if we allow them to eat Ribis, something which the Torah and the rabbis forbade under various circumstances, so then they will go after the ones that died. In other words, Leiz Lubosa Shavkayu, they're going to go to the Kever, just like Nebuch, their father did. These Yisomim, they lost their parents at a young age. They lost their father at a young age. So they're going to follow along, Rechmona Litzlan. So it can't be, Rav Nachman said, that Shmuel really held that you're allowed to go and feed the Yisomim Ribis. In other words, that you can go and do Ribis with the Yisomim's property, with the Yisomim's Yerusha. So therefore, Amalei, Rav Nachman said to Rav Anan, tell me exactly, Amali. Now the next word is Izu, and it either means it's the name of a person, or it means, in general, tell me what happened over here. In any event, he's saying, tell me exactly what happened. Amali Izu, Gufa Diuv Dehechiyava. What exactly happened that you're saying this over the name of Shmuel? You must have seen Shmuel do or say something. I want to hear the exact words because I can figure it out, because there's no way that you're quoting Shmuel accurately saying that you're allowed to go and take the most of the Yisomim and go and lend it out with Ribis. So Rav Anan says, sure, no problem. Omalei, how Duda the Bnei Mar Ukva? There once was this pot. A Duda is a pot that belonged to the children of Mar Ukva. Nebuch, their father, had passed away, and the children of Mar Ukva were orphans who were being taken care of by Shmuel. The Havah Bei Mar Shmuel, Shmuel had this pot that he would lend out on behalf of the orphans. It was the orphans' Reshut Yerusha, and he would lend it out to people, and Tokil V'yorvle, when he would lend it out, he would go and weigh it, and then he would go and rent it out to these people, and when they returned it, Tokil, he would weigh it again, the Shokule, and if there was a decrease in the value, in other words, by using this copper pot, some of the copper burnt away, so then he would charge them for it. So he not only charged them for the rental of the pot, but he would also then charge them for the appreciation of the silver in the pot. So shokil agra, the shokil pichasa. So he took the rent, and he also took a depreciation allowance, the pchas, the diminution in the copper content of the pot. He also took that. So that's what Rav Anan saw, and he felt that this was ribis. And he said, e agra, if you're charging rental, so then lo pichasa, you shouldn't be entitled to go and take the diminution in the copper content of the pot. The e pichasa, if you're taking the diminution in the copper content of the pot, then you shouldn't be allowed lo agra. This was a question that we had discussed in yesterday's shir, the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel had held that you can't go and take both. Now, that is where Rav Anan said that Shmuel must hold over here that you're allowed to, for the Yisomim, take both agra and pichasa. Oh, that's where he learned that Shmuel holds up, you can take ribis when you lend out on the behalf of the Yisomim, you can take this ribis. Rav Nachman said, no, you misunderstood. Rav Anan, your case from Shmuel with these Yisomim, the Mar Ukva children, that Shmuel lent out their pot and took both the rental and the diminution in the copper content is something that's permissible to everybody. That has nothing to do with ribbis. That is not a ribbis situation. Why? So Rav Nachman tells back to Rav Anan Amalei, ki ha afilu bidikonine, nami shori lemevad. He said, in this manner that Shmuel permitted the Yisomim of Mar Ukva to go and get the rental as well as a diminution cost of the pot. So he said that even bidikonine, that means even people who have a dakon, they have a beard, the zayin adal interchangeable. So even people that have a beard, in other words, adults, as Rashi says, b'yisomim gidolim, shenitzmali zikonim, this would be even in adults that had a full beard, they don't kriim yisomim, and they're not yisomim, sorry, that would be permissible. In other words, this is not a ribbit's concern for adults and certainly not for orphans, because doha mikable alayu, because this wasn't a guarantee that nothing would be lost to the orphans or anybody that would lend out their pot, because mikable alayu chuscha the nechosha, they accepted upon themselves the loss of the value of the copper to a certain extent, the kamo de mikli nechosha botsu dome. Because the copper, when it's used, even there are two aspects over here Rashi explains. You have the loss itself of some of the copper, but then you have the diminution in value of the remaining copper. And you can see this in Rashi, Dira Maskel, Doho Mekabli Alayu. And he says, Pichas Dumei HaNechoshes Shenishar. What Rashi is saying is they accepted of themselves the loss of the remaining copper that was there. So let's say there was, I'm making up these numbers, let's say there was 10 grams of copper there when they rented it out, and now they're only getting 9 back. So that they were entitled to go and take that 1 gram of copper that was lacking now. They gave out 10 and now it only has 9, so that they're allowed to take. But the fact that the 9 that remained are less valuable than when they were originally given, because as you use the pot, the copper diminishes in its value. Never mind diminishes in its content, but the remaining copper also diminishes in value. As Rashi says, and the Mefarish Vazel, the Gemara tells us, the call Ma demikole nechosha, as you use this copper pot, botsre domea, its value goes down. Even though they're making up the 1 gram that physically burnt off, but the remaining 9 grams that stayed there in my example are less valuable. It gets used up when the pot is being used, that some of it burns off, but even the remainder that stays there is of less value. So there was a double loss over here, and Shmuel only took the loss for part of it, and therefore that's why this is allowed, and this is not a ribbis concern. Now, that therefore explains why Rav Anan's understanding of Shmuel that you can go and take ribbis on behalf of Yisomim is incorrect. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chisda. Rabba Bar Shila says the name of Rav Chisda. Others say the Amri Lot. It was Amar Rabba by Yosef Bar Chama. Amar Sheshes. He said the name of Rav Sheshes. Mo Shol Yisomim Mutul Havosam Karv Lischar V'Rochok Lehevsin. He said similar to what Rav Anan originally said about Shmuel. He said that no, for Yisomim, you are in fact allowed to go and bypass some of the normal laws de Rabbanon and go and do a lending out of the Yisomim's money, let's say, for an Iska type of relationship where it's a 50-50, they'll split the profits and they'll split the losses. However, they're pretty much guaranteed that they'll only profit and the losses will be assumed by the person that they're giving the money to. As this, as Rashi points out, Karv Luschav Rokha Lehevsik, Rashi says, yes, they'll share 50% of the profit. But if there's a loss, the guy will still give them back their principal, the amount that they put in. Even though there was a loss, he's going to guarantee that. So they're going to split the profit, but they're not going to split the loss. And therefore, this is a ribbis situation. However, Rashi points out, but this isn't the real ribbis kitzutz of deraisa. He wouldn't go and take the Yisomim $100 and say, we want $120 back for it. No, in this situation, Elamashi Yistakru Mosem, the fact that their money will be used to make a profit, so that, Yachloku, that they can split. The Afogav, they'd be the Kodin Yosru, but here, this would not be allowed. This is Ribbis Drabbanan. And it wouldn't be allowed, lo ribis mamishit, but it's not ribis deraisa, el avak ribis, so it's only ribis derabanan, mid rabanan, it's osur. However, he allowed either Rabbi Barshila Omer Chista or Rabbi Yossi Rechama Omer Sheshes, biyasme lo gozur. In Yisomim, they actually went so far as to say that Ribis the Rabban was allowed, Shelo Yicholu Moseim, Lachilim Pruta Achar Pruta, because otherwise, the poor Yisomim, they would, each day, the little bit in their estate would be used up each day, Pruta Pruta, to go and feed them, and therefore, they allowed them to go into this business type of relationship, where they would give out money, and go into an Iska relationship, but they only had the upside, they didn't have any downside. So that's the shita of this Amorayim, that this Ribis Derabban is actually allowed for Yisomim. It wouldn't be allowed for adults, but it would be allowed for Yisomim. Tana Rabban, we learn the following b'raisa, Karov L'Sachar V'Rochok L'Hefzeh, this type of an Iska relationship, which is awesome in the Rabbanon, if somebody does this, so they're a Rasha, they're a wicked person. If they do it the other way around, they go and lend money to people and do a business relationship, which is, the Rambam tells us, one of the best ways to go and give tzedakah is to give person a loan so they can do business rather than just give them outright tzedakah. So if you can give somebody a loan and put them up in business, so therefore this is a much higher form of tzedakah than just going and giving him $10, because the $10 will get used up very quickly. But if you can put him into business and then they can earn an honest living and they're not dependent upon tzedakah, that's a greater type of tzedakah that you've done for them. So if a person goes and gives money in an iska relationship and says, listen, you can keep the profits 80-20, but I'll assume all of the losses. Karov lehefzeh, any losses, the person who's loaning the money is going to accept that loss. And any profit, he's only going to take a limited amount of the profit. So then that person is a chassid, that person is a tzaddik. He's a very nice person giving stock in the optimal way. If a person does like what most people do, Karov lehefzeh, he says, okay, I'll take 50% of the profits, but you'll also have to assume 50% of the loss if there is, or he says, listen, there's 90% of the profit I'll take, but I'll also take 90% of the loss. So then, this is what normal people do. This is not a Rasha, not a Tzaddik. This is normal business people. They don't necessarily do real outright rishus or chesed in their business transactions, but they do erlich, normal things. This is acceptable. Okay. Mark continues, says, Amalei Rabbi Rav Yosef, Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, Hani Zuzi, they ask me, when you're dealing with the money of orphans, Hechi Adinu Lahu, what do you do in order that the orphans should still have money to live on and not use up their principal all the time just with expenses and have no income coming in? So Rabbi asks Rav Yosef, what do you do when you're managing the orphans' money? So Hechi Adinu Lahu. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef says back to Rabbi, Mosvina Lahu Beidina, I go and put the money into an escrow account by the Beis Din, V'Avina Lahu Zuza Zuza, and the Beis Din will go and support them penny by penny, Zuza by Zuza, to go and take care of their expenses. So Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, then all the money's going to be gone. There's nothing coming in. All you're doing is basically having a court-appointed guardian to go and take care of their expenses, but that money's going to get all used up. After all, you just keep on taking out, and you're not putting in anything. So what do? So Amalei. So Rabbi says to him, you're going to use up the principal, and there's going to be nothing left for the orphans to live on after a year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on how much money the original was there. So Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, that's not a great plan. So Rav Yosef says back to Rabbi, no, what would you do? Amalei, Rav Yosef says to Rabbi, Mar Hechiyovit, no, what would you do? So Rabbi says, Bidkinon Gavra de Isle Dava Pricha. I would go and find somebody who has Dava Pricha, golden pieces. Rashi points out that we Bedafka wanted to have pieces of gold because nobody would go and give somebody else pieces of gold as any sort of a deposit or for any reason, because it has no simonim on it, and it could very easily be kept by the person who you gave it to as a deposit because you could never prove that it was yours. So that's why he didn't give him a golden utensil, because a gold utensil would have simonim on it. So this dava pricha is something that has absolutely no simonim on it. It's pieces of gold. And therefore, find the guy that has pieces of gold. It means, in other words, that he must be a wealthy person, because the only people that have Dava Pricha are people that actually own the Dava Pricha. It couldn't be somebody else's. And therefore, go find such a wealthy person, the Naktinan Davmine, go take the gold from him as a deposit, v'yavina lehu niale, and give him all the orphan's money in some sort of an iska type of a relationship, which is korov l'scha v'rochok l'hefse. This guy's a rich guy, so he'd be hopefully willing to do the orphans a favor, that he'll invest their money for them, and they'll split the profits 50-50, that's his incentive to do this, but he'll assume all the losses. And you know that he's a wealthy guy because he has this dava pricha. And therefore, find the guy that's willing to go do this, what we call before, a chassid, who's willing to go and give an iska relationship, but assume all the losses himself. So this person, there's no ribbis concern. The orphans are, we said, allowed to go into such a relationship where for them, it's 50-50 profit, but they don't have to assume any of the loss. So this person is taking the orphans' money and doing a very nice thing for the orphans. You have to find such a person. But don't go take from him a golden utensil, because dilmo pikadon inhu, because that may not be his. That may actually be a pikadon he's holding on to somebody else, and he's really not a wealthy guy. And the osamari, and the owner is going to come back and take this when he gives a simon for it. You obviously money vishakule, and therefore this rich person is going to use up all the money of the poor people. Let's say he didn't invest with it, didn't suit so well, and then you go to him, okay, so give back the orphans their money, and he's going to say, well, I got nothing. And they say, well, what about that golden utensil he had? He said, oh, that wasn't mine, that was a pikadon. So that's why I go find the guy that has dava pricha, because nobody lends out dava pricha. If he has dava pricha, it must mean that he's a wealthy person, and the orphans will be assured of getting their money back. So that's what Rabba said you should do with the orphans' money. That's what he told Rav Yosef. Rav Ashi says, that's great if you find the guy willing to do this, essentially. That's great if you find the wealthy guy that is willing to go into such a relationship. No, you can't find the guy that has these golden pieces. In other words, a guy that's wealthy that would be willing to do this. No. So then you're back in step one. You're right back at the beginning. The poor orphans, their money's going to get all used up because they don't have an itzko relationship over here that is korov l'schar and rochok l'hesed. So Rav Ashi says, this is what you do. El Amar Rav Ashi. Chazinon gavra dimishapu nichse. Go find the person that has quiet nichosim. In other words, nobody is starting up with him and saying, hey, that's my money, you're a crook, you're this or that. As Rashi says, shenichosov shketin, his properties are quiet at slow. They iru al karkosov. Nobody's coming and say, hey, that's not your property. And therefore, this guy is a stable businessman. And he has a good name, Mehemon. He's known as a person who has an erlich kaitum. He's Mehemon. He's believed in his business dealings. Vishoma adina daraisa. And this person's a shomer Torah mitzvos. He follows the rules of daraisa. And the rabbis, he follows their rules as well. The rabbis never had to put him in a shamta. They never had to go and put him in cherim to excommunicate him because he wasn't following the din of the rabbanon. So find such a trustworthy erlich guy who is in a stable financial situation, and give him the orphan's money in the basin. In other words, through the basin, as Rashi points out in the bottom Rashi, b'fnei basin sheishlam koch lahavkir nichse hamakabel. So therefore, the basin has the right to go and say, Hefker, basin, Hefker, and go and take this money of the orphans. They give it to this trustworthy person, and they say that you can go into an iska relationship with them that is going to be advantage of 50-50 profit is done, so you'll gain 50%, they'll gain 50%, but you'll assume the losses. Again, this will be a korov l'schar and rochok l'hefset situation for the yisomim. And l'hano simos, Rashi says, korov l'schar, rochok l'hefset. So this is what you do. And in this way, you'll go take care of the needs of the orphans. Okay, we turn to Ayin Amadez with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ein Mekablim Son Barzom Yisrael. We had this previously, and the Chiddush over here is really from the second point, Rashi points out. So here, you're not allowed to go take Son Barzom from Yisrael. In other words, Nebdeshu Rivas, this is a standard Iska relationship, which if it's Son Barzom, it's Korv L'schar. This is going to split the profits 50-50, but it's an ironclad. That's why it's called Son Barzom. It's an ironclad guarantee that you're going to pay them back the money, so therefore it's rochok lehefset, and that's why it's ribbis, because there's basically they're giving you this money as tzon barzel, or this property as tzon barzel, they're expecting to get it 100% back. So Reuven gives this tzon barzel to Shimon and to do it in iska relationship. So if there's a profit, they'll split it 50-50. But if there's a loss in the principal, so Reuven is expecting to get it 100% back. So that's called ribbis. That's ribbis the rabban. But And here's the point of the Mishnah. You are allowed to go into such a relationship with an Akum, because in dealing with an Akum, there is no concern of ribis. As the Mishnah now even tells us, Beferish, the Lovin Mehan Umalvin Osom Ribis, because the Isser Ribis doesn't apply to an Akum. Makablin son buys of an Akum. You can go into such an Isser relationship with an Akum. So Reuven goes and gives Chris, or vice versa, Chris can go and give Reuven this son barzel, either money or produce or item, and expect to get it 100% guaranteed back. But then they'll go into a business relationship, and if there's profits, they'll split it 50-50. That's permissible with a guy. Obviously, that the Mishnah tells us is not permissible with a yid. For yid, it'll be ribbis. For guy, there is no problem of ribbis. The love in the end, or mavid, or some ribbis. And you can do this directly. Here's $100. Give me back 120. That is permissible. The chayim a geratoshev. A geratoshev is a guy. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He follows the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He's an Erech Goy, but he's a guy. V'chein B'ger Toshav. So such a person, while we treat him extremely nicely, and he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael, and we treat him with respect, nevertheless, he is not considered a Yid. This is not a Ger Tzedek. This is a Ger Toshav. And the Dinim of Ribbis don't apply with such a person. Then the Mishnah concludes with a somewhat enigmatic statement that we'll have to explain more in the Gemara. So if a yid has the guy's money in his possession, and this was money that he's paying interest on, so Chris lends Reuven money, and there is interest. He's allowed to go and borrow money from Chris with interest. And now Reuven says, listen, I don't need this money anymore, but we have capital over here. I'm going to go give this loan to Shimon, but I'm not paying the interest on it. I'm going to transfer the entire loan over to Shimon. So are you allowed to do this? So yes, the Mishnah says this malva that the Yisrael got from the Akum, Chris lent Reuven $100, expected to get back 120. Malva Yisrael Mosu Shel Akum, that's only Midas So Akum. If Chris says, yeah, I have no problems in you transferring over the entire loan to Shimon, and Shimon will pay me back the $120. I will owe Midas Yisrael, but you can't do this in the other way. So let's say Reuven had lent Chris $100, expected to get back 120, which is allowed. And then Chris says, listen, I don't need the money anymore, but we have the capital here. I'll give it to my friend Shimon, who's a yid. And he'll transfer over this requirement to pay 120 back to Reuven to Shimon. Now, this would be ribbis if Reuven did it directly to Shimon, and therefore, avolomi das Yisrael. You can't do this with Reuven's permission. So here, Chris can give this over to Shimon, and Shimon will pay back the 120 to Reuven as long as Reuven doesn't know anything about it. He didn't allow it, so to say. Once it's already done, so then it's done. So the Mishnah at the end is telling us two scenarios. If Chris lends Reuven money, Reuven has the right to give it over to Shimon if Chris agreed to it. But the other way around, if Reuven had lent Chris money with interest, so then Chris can give it over to Shimon, but not with Reuven's knowledge. And again, when we get to the Gemara, in tomorrow's Shia, we'll explain this in more detail. The Gemara starts off and says, L'meimra, this implies in our Mishnah, de Birishuso de Mekabel Kaima, that when we said that you can't go and give over Tzon Barzel in an Iska relationship, Reuven can't go and give Tzon Barzel money for an Iska to Shimon, that is Ribis Midrabanan, but we said that you can give it over from a Goy to a Yid, Chris is allowed to go and give you some barzo type of iska relationship. So that implies lemeimra de brishusa de makabel kaima, that this money now fully belongs to Reuven and it no longer belongs to Chris, because Reuven has to pay him back this loan, tzom barzel, and they'll split the profits. But we view this money now, this tzom barzel, as being fully in Reuven's possession. But that leads to the following question. Uriminu, but we learn a Mishnah in Bechoros. The Mishnah in Bechoros tells us that Hamakabel Tzon Barzel Min Hanochrim, if a guy gave you his animal, and you're guaranteed you're going to raise this animal, you're the shepherd on this animal, and you're guaranteeing to him that you'll pay him back the value of this animal, so then Hamakabel Tzon Barzel Min Hanochrim, if Reuven goes and accepts an animal to go and raise the animal, they'll split the profit. And the animal must be fully evaluated and returned by Reuven to Chris, no matter what happens. So, vlados peturos min habachorah. Nevertheless, we say that Chris, the guy, is still considered a partial owner in this animal, and therefore, the rule is that if a guy totally or partially owns an animal, there is no din of the firstborn of that animal being a bechor. And therefore, there is no obligation to bring such an animal up to the Beis HaMikdash, make sure it doesn't get a mum, go bring it as a tamim and sacrifice it as the din of a bechor. So the vlados are peturim min habechorah. But wait a second. We just said from our Mishnah that Reuven is totally in possession, the Bereshus of the Mekabel Kaima, but yet, if that were true, so then the animal should be chayv in the din of Bechor. So the Mishnah and Bechoros seems to contradict the implication from our Mishnah over here. The Mishnah and Bechoros says that even though Reuven is getting this tzon barzo from the Nochri is still considered a partial owner in it, and therefore it's part of Min HaBechorah. However, in our Mishnah, we're saying that Reuven is considered the owner of this tzon barzo money. So our Mishnah and the Mishnah and Bechorah seem to be in contradiction. So we'll give several terutim. The first one is from Abaya. Oh, Abaya lo kasha, not a problem. The two Mishnais are talking about two different scenarios. Ha, the Mekabalei unso vezula. The Mishnah Bechorus will be saying that Chris, the guy, is still considered a partial owner of the animal, and therefore any vlados, the firstborn child from this animal, is not going to be chayv in the din of Bechorah, is because Chris has accepted upon himself a depreciation. In other words, he is basically saying it's not so embarrassing. It's something that I'll give you 50% of the profit, but I'll also take 50% of the loss should that occur. So we'll be true partners. And therefore, that's why he's still considered, the Chris, in the case of the Bechorah, is still considered over here an owner of the mother animal and the firstborn child that's born. So that animal is considered to be still owned in part by a guy, and there is no din of Bechor. As opposed to our Mishnah, here, in our case, our Mishnah, which said it's a din of Tzom Barzel, so we said that there is no acceptance by Reuven when he goes and gives it to Shimon, so it's totally in Shimon's possession, and therefore, that would be a ribbit situation. So therefore, the two scenarios, the Mishnah and Bechorus is talking about where Chris still accepted upon himself responsibility, whereas in our situation, he no longer accepted upon himself any responsibility. That's a vayis teres, but Rava says that can't be right. Only Rava, for two reasons you're wrong. Number one, id kabalei mora unso vezola tzom barzo koris lei. How can you say that the Mishnah Bechoros is that Chris has accepted upon himself still to take some of the loss should there be a loss? You wouldn't call that tzom barzo. The definition of tzom barzo is he's guaranteed to get it 100% back. And he'd say no, he's willing to accept upon himself the losses. He'll take some of the losses. He'll take some of the profit. He'll take some of the losses. That's not tzom barzo. Number one. Yeah, Rava says, oh, you're wrong. Number two, va'od, at the Tani Sefer, keep on reading this Sefer. In our Mishnah, it said, Avu Makab and Tzom Barzel and Akam. Our Mishnah is telling us, you can't take Tzom Barzel from Yid. Reuven can't give a Tzom Barzel Iska relationship to Shimon. But Reuven could give a Tzom Barzel relationship to Chris. But instead of giving us the case of the Akam, you could have said, Liflog Bidi Day. You could have differentiated with a yid to a yid, by saying, when are you not allowed to give? Reuven can't give its own barzo relationship to Shimon. That's when it's a true tzom barzo relationship. The lo kibel alei unso vezola. That he's saying, listen, we'll split the profits 50-50, but you have to return to me 100% of the principal, and that's, he's not accepting upon himself any depreciation, any loss in the investment. Oh, that's not allowed. But in the same case of a yid to a yid, avo kibo mora unso vezola, if Reuven is saying, listen, we'll do this 50-50 relationship over here. If there's profits, we'll split it 50-50. If there's a loss, we'll split it 50-50. Plus, he'll also pay him, the Mufarshi point out, he'll also pay him a fee for managing, like we talked about previously. You have to give him something to go and manage the money of Reuven. So Shimon has to get some sort of a fee separate from the profit and losses. He has to get a management fee. So that's what we had said previously. Avo kibo mora onso vezola. But in such a situation, shat b'dami. So why did the Mishnah have to go tell us about a guy? It could have said, when is it allowed to embarazo between a yid and a yid? Is if he accepts upon himself onso vezola. And when is it not allowed? If he doesn't accept upon himself onso vezola, it's a tutso embarazo relationship. So therefore, for these two reasons, Rava says to Abaye, you're wrong. And therefore, Rava says, this is how you have to reconcile the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Bechoros. Elohim, Rava says, Idi v'idi, lo kabel alei, mara onzo zola. They're both tzom barzel. So there can't be any acceptance by the person who's giving the item to the other person. There can't be any acceptance of onzo zola because it's tzom barzel. So therefore, how do you explain the Mishnah Bechoros saying that it, Chris is still considered an owner, whereas in our situation, Reuven is not still considered an owner. So, v'gabei b'choros, because the Mishnah b'choros tells us that haynu tam de v'lados v'turmin ha-b'chora, the reason why the v'lados in that situation are exempt from the din of b'chora, because we view Chris, even though he is getting tzon barzel back over here, kivan di'i lo yoiv zuzi, if in fact, Reuven doesn't give to Chris the value of this animal. Let's say the animal is lost, so the animal dies, it's killed, it runs away. So Reuven is responsible, tzon barzel, to give the value of that animal back to Chris. Kivan, the e lo yov zuzi. If he doesn't give him back the value, osi nochri tofis lo lebehema. If he doesn't give him back the value of the animal, so if the animal is still around, Chris has the right to go and take the animal back. And if the animal is no longer around, it ran away, it was killed, whatever, he will take the vlados of the animal back to give him back his investment. It was sown by himself. He's entitled to get it 100% back. And therefore, since he could go and take the vlados, he is still considered to be a partial owner. His hand's in the middle over here. In other words, he still has an attachment, if you wish, to this vlad. So therefore, since he's still capable of taking this vlad back, if the deal went south and the Reuven lost all the money and he can't go pay him back, so Chris would have the right to go and take his money back that's on Barzo from the Vlados. And therefore, the whole Yad Nochri Bemza, since he could still take this from Reuven, the Vlad, and therefore it could be still used as a repayment of the Tzon Barzel, he is considered a partial owner in it, and enough so that Potter Min HaBechorah, even if he owns 1% of the animal, the din is if a Nochri owns even 1% of the animal, so then there is no din of Bechorah. And in fact, that's what farmers do today. Because today would be a real problem if you had a Bechorah. We don't have Nebuchadnezzar Vedush, if you real mayor of your menu. So therefore, what farmers do is they sell a small percentage of each animal. The mother animal is owned by a guy. So 0.1%, whatever the number is, they sell to a guy. And therefore, it's partially owned by a guy. And it's Ptura Min HaBechorah. And therefore, that's what we say over here. Since Chris is entitled to go take this Vlados back to pay for the Tzon Barzel relationship that he is owned, so therefore, he's considered a small partial owner still in this Vlad. And therefore, Ptura Min HaBechorah. Okay. The Warren now tells us how terrible it is to take ribis. Mar behono v'neshech v'sarbis. We quote a pasuk from Mishlei where it says, if one gets a lot of money from taking neshech and tarbis, from taking ribis, so then he will eventually lose it. L'chonein dalim yikbitzenu. He's only getting this money, he's gathering it to go and give it to somebody who will eventually give it to a poor person. In other words, you think you're getting rich from ribis? You're not. It's eventually going to be taken from you, and it'll be given to people who are dalim, who are poor, and they will get it. Now, my lechonin dalim, why bedavka lechonin dalim to poor people? So Amar Rav tells us this is an example, kigon Shvur Malka. Rashi explains that Shvur Malka was Melech Prashoya, he was a famous king of Persia, the notel mama mi Yisrael, and he took money from the Jewish people, v'chonin behem dalim nachrim, and he would take this tax money that he got, and he would go and give it to welfare. He would give it to the poor nachrim. Shem dalim min hamitzos. Why are they called dalim? The lav davka were poor. They were dalim min hamitzos, Rashi says, and therefore they're referred to as poor people, and that they don't have a lot of mitzos. So this is what it means, l'chonin dalim in the pasuk. That's what Rav tells us. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Amali Huna, Rav Huna told him, he called him Huna because they were colleagues, but this is the famous Rav Huna throughout Shas. Rav Nachman said that Rav Huna, his colleague, told him, this Pasuk in Mishnah is only telling it to us, Lo Nitzro, it's only telling it to us, Elo Dafilu Ribis de Ove Kochavim. This Pasuk isn't talking about Ribis from a Yid to another Yid. Of course that's true. You'll lose your money. But it's telling us, even if you do Ribis, which is permissible with a guy, it's not going to end well. It's not good to go and take ribis, even where it's permissible from a guy. That is what Rav Nachman said, that Rav Huna said. Eisi, Rav Nachman, Rav questions this, and he says, the pasuk says, La nochri tashich, that you are allowed to go and give ribis or take ribis from a guy. My tashich, wasn't it mean, lav tishoch, that you're allowed to go and take interest from a guy? In other words, you can take ribis from a guy. The Torah says it's okay. How could this be in Mishnah telling us it's not going to do well if the Torah permits it? So the Gemara says, no, lo, it doesn't mean tishok, that you should take interest from the guy. Tashich, it means you're allowed to give interest to the guy. In other words, when the Pasuk says, la nochri tashich, it doesn't mean that you can go and take ribbis from the guy, it means that you're allowed to pay ribbis to the guy. Shmuel says, and if you don't pay ribbis to the guy, you're over an iser. Lo sagi d'lav hachi. If you take a loan from a guy and you pay him back, he's not asking for ribbis. You're over an iser. Shmuel says, no. What it means over here is lafuke ochicha, as opposed to a yid, the low. It means you are allowed to pay interest to a guy, but the implication is that you're not allowed to pay interest to a yid. It doesn't mean you're mechuyev to pay interest to a guy. The guy doesn't ask for interest, you're not mechuyev to pay him. But what it teaches us is that you are allowed to pay a guy interest, but you're not allowed to go and take from a guy interest. So Gemara says, but it says, achicha. The pasuk says, la'nachri tashich, ulo achicha, lo sashich. So it says, beferish, behed your kasa bay, ulo achicha, lo sashich. So what do you mean? That we need the pasuk lafuke achicha delo. The pasuk says beferish delo. So the first part of the pasuk lanochri tashich, I don't need to tell me by implication ulo achicha lo tashich, because the next words of the pasuk say ulo achicha lo sashich. So Gemara says, you're right. You learn this by implication to teach us an extra din. Lav or lav basay velo sase. We want to have over here when it says lo achicha lo sashich, that is a beferish lo sase. And the implication of la nochri tashich, and therefore implication, and to a yid, don't do it, that is a lav habo michlal asay. And a lav habo michlal asay is considered an asay. So therefore, we're adding on over here an asay to the lo sase. Okay. The Gemara continues and says, Esrei Rava further questioned Rav Nachman from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Lovin mehen umalvin osam beribis. V'chei meger toshav. So how can you say, Rav Nachman, that the Pasuk in Mishnah is telling us that don't go, it's not proper to go and take interest from a goy. You said, El no litzuch el afil ribis da'ol dekochavim. So that seems to go against our beferish Mishnah. So I'm Ruchia Bered the Rav Huna. Ruchia, who's the son of Rav Huna, says, no, lo nitzucha, you need this pasuk in Mishlei and the Mishnah to teach us, Ella, and we turn to Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, Bichtei Chayov, as Rashi says, the top Rashi, Hitiru lo, v'yosu mikan osur. Yes, you can go and take ribbits from the guy only up to the amount that you need to live. If you have more than enough to live, then Mikan Rashi says, Osir, you shouldn't take that. And of course, this is Dinder Rabbanan, and therefore, that's what we learn from here. That's Teretz number one. Ravino Mar Teretz number two. Hacha b'samidi chachamim maskina. We're dealing over here with Tamidi chachamim, who are dealing with the interest with the guy. And with the Talmud Chacham, we have no concerns. Why? Taima, my God's a Rabbanan. Why did the rabbi say, don't take interest from a guy? Because you know what you do? You're going to like it. And Shema Yomo b'maisav. And you're going to go and see that this is an easy way to make money. And the next thing you're going to do is Rechman al-San, go do it to a yid. The kivin the Talmud Chacham, who do lo yomo mi maisav. But since this person is a Talmud Chacham, he's not going to go and do something wrong and learn from the fact that, oh, this was easy money to get from the guy. I'm going to do it to a yid. The Talmud Chacham won't do this. The Shita Mekubetzes brings down the Rashba, an interesting idea. He says that everybody's allowed to consider themselves a Talmud Chacham in this respect and take ribbits from a guy because the excessive taxes and the difficulty making a parnasa, so therefore there's no problem in taking the ribbis from a guy since everything is considered today b'chdei chayov. So that's why, unfortunately, Jewish people who weren't allowed to almost do any other parnasa were allowed in the times of the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages. They always were the usurers. That's why you have this terrible anti-Semitism against the Jewish people because they were always lending and borrowing money with interest because the goyim also held that you're not allowed to take interest from a goy to a goy. And they said you can take interest from a yid to a goy. And therefore, the Jewish people were always put in this very uncomfortable position. That was the first version that we had that Rav Huna had said. Ika demasi lo lahod Rav Huna, there is another version that said that this is what Rav Huna said. Aha, the Tani Rav Yosef. And he said it in regards to the brisa that was taught by Rav Yosef. What was this brisa? The pasuk tells us, the pasuk from Mishpatim, im kesef talve esami esani imach. If you will go and lend money, which means this im doesn't mean if you will, it means when you will go and lend money. The word im can sometimes mean when. So you shall go and lend money, esani imach, to the poor person amongst you. So it means Ami v'nochri. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that if you have the choice of lending money to somebody who is a yid or somebody who is an ochri, so then Ami kodem, then you should lend to the yid first. If you can lend to both, gesundheit, but if you only have enough money to lend to one, so then the yid takes precedence. Ani v'asher, if you have the opportunity to lend money to an ani, or you have the opportunity to lend money to an asher, sometimes an asher is poor with cash flow, and he needs cash, so you have to lend the money, so then ani kodem, you should first lend to the poor person. Aniyecha v'aniyeircha, if you have a choice of your own aniyim versus the aniyim of your city. What does it mean, your own aniyim? It means the aniyim of your family. Rechmon al-Islam, someone in your family, Rashi says, "Aniyim shem krovim umimishpatecha." So you have a priority to go and lend them money. Aniyecha kodim, even before the aniyim of your city. And if it's aniyei ircha, the aniyim of your city, aniyei iracheres versus another city's aniyim, so then aniyei ircha kodim, the aniyim of your city, take precedence in that situation as well. How you define family, how you define your city versus other cities, and the special status of Yerushalayim. So this is all halacha lemaisa discussions, not for now. In any event, this is how we dash in the pasukim kesef talveh sani esani imach. Now, Amar Mar, we go back and dissect a little piece of this paisa. Ami v'nachwi, we said if you had a choice between lending money to a yid or to a nachwi, so then we said ami kodim, the yid takes precedence. So Gemara says, obviously, pshita, why would we need a braisa to tell us this? Isn't this basic thing that a yid would come ahead? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar li Huna. So here's where Rav Nachman said it in the name of Huna. This, we said, ikad demasi lo lahodah Rav Huna. This is where that statement from Rav Huna was brought down by Rav Nachman, that this pasuk, this braisa, is needing to teach us, lo nitzucha dafilu l'nachri beribi. Here, by giving the money to a guy, lending the money to a guy, you give him $100, you get back 120. Whereas if you give the $100 to a yid, you're going to get back $100. You might have thought, well, in this situation, I have an opportunity to make a profit, so my ability to make the profit should take precedence over my ability to lend it to a yid. Kamash v'lon, that's what Rav Huna is telling us, that even if one is going to make a profit, ribis, by lending money to a guy, one is supposed to go first lend money to the yid, even though he's going to not gain any money on it, but that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And a yid should always be, Ezus Hashem, do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And when we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, then we have the right to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please do what we want. Please let there be Shalom and all Kaisel, and bring Moshiach Tzadkeinu, b'mehirah b'yameinu. Have a wonderful day.